This week on Art on the Air, our whole show features an award-winning New Age composer, Cheryl B. Engelhardt, discussing her new album, The Passenger, completely created on her cross-country train journey from New York to Los Angeles and back. Our spotlight is on LaPorte County Symphony's 28th holiday concert on the baton of Maestro Dr. Carolyn Watson and Charles Steck.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight one of our favorite guests to tell us all about what's happening in the holiday season for the Port County Symphony Orchestra holiday concert on December 10th at 7 p.m. That's their 28th concert, and they've got some wonderful things. Tim King, Executive Director, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Aloha.
Good, good. Yes, you're right, Larry. It's Saturday, December the 10th. It's the 28th annual holiday at the Pops. A lot of people around here consider that the start of their holiday season to get them in the mood and the right spirit. It will be at 7 p.m. Central Time at the Civic Auditorium. The tables on the floor have been sold out for about a month now.
Wow.
But we do still have tickets in the balcony, and the tickets are a really nice price. It's $15 for adults and $5 for ages 12 and under. So, you know, for a concert.
Those balcony seats are excellent.
Thank you. That's right. Have to know where to sit. You know?
Right.
Actually, the seats in the balcony, because they're higher up, I think it's both better from a sight line and audio as well for a lot of people. They prefer it. And then, of course, this coming summer, the Civic is going to be putting in new padded seats in the balcony. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a really, really nice attraction for them.
Yeah, but I like those concert, balcony seats.
For this concert, it's going to be both our music director, Carolyn Watson, and our associate conductor, Chuck Steck. We did that last year because it was Carolyn's first year. And she said, you know, I really kind of want to ease into this, if you don't mind. Would he mind conducting? And of course, Chuck would love that. But they had such a good time doing helping each other that she suggested doing that again. So they're going to be sharing duties. We're going to be welcoming Illumination, the choir that sings with us quite a bit. We're also going to be welcoming back the LaPorte High School Chorale. So they'll be singing several carols and special pieces with us going back and forth. Another piece that we're going to do for the second time is this Celebration Fanfare, which was commissioned by Gary and Joe Fran Bendix. And Joe Fran is celebrating her 50th year with our orchestra, believe it or not. And she commissioned Rick DeYoung, who has conducted our education concerts for several years during the music director search, but he also is a fantastic composer and arranger. And we premiered this piece on the education concerts in October, and the kids loved it, and the musicians loved this piece. So we're actually going to start off the concert with this Celebration Fanfare to remind people that we still are in our 50th anniversary before we go into all the all of the holiday stuff.
Doing something different with the 12 days of Christmas as well? Or
it's called Musicological Journey Through the 12 Days of Christmas. Now, I have to be honest with you, I have no idea what it is. But obviously,
use your imagination. 12
days of Christmas, and I don't know if it's – so that's going to be the mystery piece.
It sounds exciting.
And that's going to be with the La Porte High School Chorale. So it was actually their suggestion to do that piece. So they'll be doing that with orchestra with us, and they're going to end the first half with White Christmas, which will be a beautiful way to end. But you're right. I don't have a clue. I'm assuming they're going to be singing the 12 Days of Christmas with some added extras or something in there, would be my guess.
Excellent. Well, and I see you're one of the funds is the Carol of the Bells from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's a real challenging piece, isn't it?
Yes. Well, several years ago, we threw in a Trans-Siberian number, and the audience went crazy. They just went crazy. And we thought, we're onto something here. So that's almost become as much a tradition as the a cappella version of Silent Night at the End. That's a big tradition, is that we always sing Silent Night with the orchestra, and then the last verse is just an all a cappella, almost in the dark, except for the stand lights the musicians have. But before that, we'd always do a really rousing version of a Trans-Siberian Orchestra piece. So this year it's the Carol of the Bells, and they just go crazy. They just, it's like the really great culmination. And then of course we have to calm them down. And we calm them down for Silent Night before they leave.
Very good. Well, that sounds like a great concert. And that, tables are sold out, folks, but you can still get great balcony seats, and they really are. And how much can the balcony seat? Do you know offhand or?
Right now, it's about 1,500 seats.
Okay,
we can do in the balcony, and I know a lot of people are—they really wait. A lot of people wait until the week of or the week before. They wait till after Thanksgiving, and right now we've sold about 400 balcony seats. That's going to really increase after Thanksgiving if we follow the same trend that we followed in years past. Of course, last year we were still sort of in pandemic mode, and so the most we could sell was 1,200 total. So that was 500 on the floor and 700 in the balcony. So we'll be able to sell a lot more balcony tickets this year, and we're looking forward to that.
Well, we have about a minute and a half. You've got some other neat things coming up in the 2023 part of your season. So tell us a little preview of those.
We do. We're adding a new concert an extra concert this year in February the 11th, and that will be at La Porte High School's new Performing Arts Center. I keep saying it's new. It's probably 3 years old now, but it's the first time we've been in there, and we're going to be doing a joint concert with their orchestra and their wind ensemble. So we're calling it a side-by-side concert where the orchestra will play, the LCSO will play by themselves the first half, and then after intermission, the students from the orchestra and the wind ensemble will join us. And so for various selections. And then we go into March with Pictures in an Exhibition, big, big piece, and the Prokofiev Piano Concerto No. 1 with Mike Chertok. And then in April, we'll end the concert with the Purdue Glee Club, and we've just added the Texas Tenors to that concert. So that's going to be our big blowout concert to end the season.
Excellent. Well, in 30 seconds left, tell us all the information. Once again, they can still get tickets, website, and all that.
Right. Website is lcso.net. You can get the tickets on the website. Or if you happen to live in the La Porte County area, you can get tickets at Roxy Music on Lincoln Way or the Civic Auditorium. But basically, tickets on our website. Please go ahead and get those now.
Well, we appreciate Tim King, as always, coming on Art on the Air. And it's La Porte County Symphony 28th Holiday Concert on December 10th, 7 p.m. And it'll be Dr. Carolyn Watson and Chuck Stick, Associate Conductor. Thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air Spotlight.
It's always
Thank
a pleasure, Tim.
Thank you so much.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge so we may continue to bring you this great program. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM. We begin our interview with music from Cheryl B. Engelhart, whose Grammy-nominated New Age recording from the album The Passenger, The Chariot.
We are pleased to welcome Cheryl B. Engelhardt to Art on the Air. Cheryl is an award-winning composer, New Age artist, and a number one bestseller on iTunes and Amazon. Her work has been featured by Forbes, People, Harper's Bazaar, and so many more. Cheryl writes for films, meditation apps, and social justice choirs. Her newest album was the first of its kind, completely created on a cross-country USA train journey in under 5 days. Thank you, Cheryl, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Hi.
Well, Cheryl, we always like to start off our interviews to let our audience know a little bit about you. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about Cheryl.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing the piano as a little kid. I grew up in Connecticut, and it's always a hobby, but I was good at it. I loved being in choirs and musical theater in high school, and I ended up going to Cornell for college, and I was going to be a marine biologist, and my advisor said, hey, you know, you're taking so many electives in music. If you just took two more classes, you could actually double major, because we didn't have minors at the time. And I was like, okay. Type A, overachiever personality, great, let's do it. And I sort of focused in on I really, really enjoyed the technology behind film scoring and how to bring the music as a supporting, sort of like the supporting role. I was in an a cappella group. I really liked the background singer sort of persona of blending and being the support, and it really translated over to film, and then just sort of getting into the tech, and of course being at the time the only girl in the program, the music tech. So I felt like I was like, yes, we're moving the world forward in a little bit. But my first job out of college was with the United States Geological Survey. It was a science job doing scuba diving research, water quality research in the Delaware River, which is not as fun as it sounds.
Yeah.
We ended up having a little bit of a break, sort of, I don't know, 6 months into that job. And I had about a month off for like weather reasons and data collection reasons. And a friend of my mom's, a chiropractor, someone knew that I wrote music, and he was a web designer and designing a website for a very high-end hotel that was owned by the Vatican in Italy, and invited me to go to Rome, stay in this, it was a monastery. I had my own sort of 10-story little tower that was this beautiful thing. Apparently he was staying in, I mean, I never got to see, the men and women were very separated, but he was staying in this like bunkhouse in the basement of this church by the Spanish Steps. And I basically went around and did some video capturing for the website. They were making little videos of the interior and the exterior of the hotel, and they wanted custom music for that. So I got to make the videos and then provide the music. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going back underwater like this. We're going to stick around in this part of the industry. So I moved to New York City, and I had an internship at a recording studio, and I realized that I really didn't like the smell of, you know, 2-day-old pot, and I did not like darkness. I enjoy windows. So I was like, you know what? I don't think I want to be an engineer, studio engineer. So did a little process of elimination. I got a job as a messenger for a commercial house, meaning they were the people that edited the videos for commercials, knowing that that would introduce me to some other people in the process, including music houses. And I got to deliver digibated tapes and things like that as the messenger, and started to introduce myself and make myself known to the people to whom I was delivering things, and started calling this one beautiful music house pretty much once a month asking if they had a job. And on the 11th call, they said, actually, our assistant tech left, and let's see your resume. And I got hired there, and the rest of his history. I started, you know, composing after the in-house composers would go home. I would work on whatever they were working on, and I started winning those spots and getting music on commercials. And there are these beautiful studios there, so I started recording my own music, put a band together, started doing the gigging thing, would leave early on Fridays and come back, you know, late Sunday night and go to, you know, Portland or Philly or DC and just sort of gig around different cities for weekends, and started doing the like independent singer-songwriter pop artist thing and ended up leaving the Jingle House to do that a little more full time. And one thing led to another, and I started scoring films and started staying home more, because when you're scoring a film, you need access to good internet to send big files and receive video files. And at the time that was not a thing. So around, let's see, now we're about 10 years to go in this story. About 10 years ago, three things happened that was like, okay, I'm done touring. One, I got my first feature film, which was like the biggest files and really like required me to sort of, you know, focus and be in one place and not be on the road with a band all over Switzerland's mountains. Two, I got married. And three, my dad passed away, all within like a 6 month period. So I was like, I don't want to be on the road anymore. Like, pivot time. So, you know, we start pivoting and I become much more project based in terms of film scores. One thing led to another and I end up getting in touch with some choirs. I start working with the Social Justice Choir, Voices 21C, writing for them. And we travel. I start singing with them too. They're based out of Boston and we travel to Palestine and Israel and Mexico City and start doing a lot of community outreach. Really, really beautiful work there and writing pieces for them, for programs and doing a lot of interesting research. So that was a really cool sort of pivot. And I started dealing with my own anxiety and realized that I was looking for music to kind of help me with meditations because I'd fall asleep. I would just be like this droney, like music, like not working for me. But then I would go and listen to like classical music and my ear would go to the music and get pulled out of what I actually needed to be processing. So I was like, what if I created music that was sort of in the middle that would like support me to stay focused, but like have these little, like have a bell or have something, a piano, not super melodic, but it would pierce my listening and keep me here in the process. And so I did this album on a composer residency in a little island in Greece. And I released that just because I had created enough music to make an album and it poof went right to the number one on iTunes and Amazon. I was like, what? Am I a new age artist now? Like, what's that? Like, that's delightful. This feels very good.
So is that Luminary?
That is Luminary, yeah. And then the next year, pandemic hit, and I had some lyrics, some songs, but I also really liked the parameters or lack thereof in new age. I didn't need a verse, chorus. I could be weirder. And so I did A Seeker's Slumber, my second new age album, my sixth album. And then this past year, I released the Passenger that you had said in the beginning, the album created on a train. So that brings us to today.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like you really have some pretty wonderful locales, Greece and then on the train. Were there other exotic locales?
My studio during the
studio.
I have mixed a film in Switzerland and I have recorded vocals for a couple commercials like under the covers in hotels in Germany. And so I have a mobile little teeny tiny mobile setup that has served me well. Oh, this past spring after all of the things went down in the early part of the year that had me and ended up on a train, which is another story. I ended up going to Ireland. I had found, I sort of window shop on Airbnb and I found this like castle, more of a tower. It's like one, you know, kitchen on the ground floor, then spiral staircase. And it's like one room per floor, like a library and then the bedroom. And I was just like, that's probably like $1,000 a night. And it was like less than $100 a night. And I booked it right before COVID. And then my reservation kept getting moved because of all the travel restrictions. So April of this year, I went and I was like, I am not missing this for any reason. So I went and I was in the middle of working on a commercial that had come in house and it was a completely a cappella commercial. So I was like, all right, they're going to get some Ireland Tower vibes in their commercial. And they ended up liking it. They couldn't tell the difference. But I definitely was yelling at some birds that were flying around like, shh. Their echoes were like, tweet, 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 tweet.
So can you tell us some of the feature films you've worked on that we might recognize or?
They're all independent films. Okay. One, it's called Delusions of Guinevere. That is on Amazon Prime, I believe. A bunch of short films. Well, you said feature films. There's another one called, oh my gosh, I want to call it Roses in the Dark, and that's totally not it. Oh, it's like one of my favorites, though. Why am I not getting the title right? And there's another one that the most recent one was called We Are Gathered Here. It's a little bit of a darker rom-com, which is really fun to work on.
And when you were at the Jingle House, did you write jingles?
I did.
Any of them we wouldn't recognize?
The jingles there that we worked on, I mean, we worked on Campbell's, was built out of that house. The Campbell's, good. Possibilities. But the jingles that I wrote were less jingles and more background music.
Okay.
But because it's on a commercial, pretty much everyone calls it jingle music. So I just use that for simplification terms. So nothing I'm trying to think. I had there was a Honey Nut Cheerios commercial where the bee from a Honey Nut Cheerios was like interacting with the grumpy cat. And I sort of, it's not something that you can hum along, but I kind of made like a grumpy cat theme for the grumpy cat. And I feel like I knew I made it when the grumpy cat tweeted, "I hate this music," because the grumpy cat tweets only negative statements. And I was like, oh, I made it. The grumpy cat hates my music, like hates his own theme. Perfect.
So I have, I watched the Making a Passenger, the video that you mm-hmm. shot. And in it, you said you have to watch what you wish for. And you mm-hmm. also had said you met your husband that way. So what did you wish for to make that meeting happen? And how did you meet?
Yeah, I say things and then they have, like me touring in Switzerland was a kind of a joke, like, ha, one day maybe I'll tour in Switzerland. I've been to Switzerland like 7 times with my band and solo. And like, it's just had been a place that's really been welcoming. And then around my husband, I was working with a career coach because I was feeling a little stuck in my music. And she was like, all right, when we work together, I think it was like a 6-week thing that we were going to do. She's like, well, we'll focus on 3 different topics. And I was like, one angle of my music career, another angle of my music career, and third angle. And she's like, something else like in your life. And I was like, no, I just want to work on my career. She's like, what about like romance? I'm like, romance, blah, they just get in the way of my music career. So she like made me pick something else. So I did pick romance. And one of the exercises was to create a vision written in the present tense, what it would look like to have this ideal person. And I described him to a T, like what he looked like, that he would be great with me and my band and like totally understand me, be on the road. And so we ended up meeting like 6 months later. He was in the audience of one of my shows. So,
oh my gosh.
When I read him that letter, it was the first time I saw him cry. I was like, I conjured you, dude. You did not exist before this piece of paper.
Very kismet and everything. That's great.
That's
so,
beautiful.
Well, why don't we talk about your current project and then we'll listen to some of your music from your previous projects, but The Passenger, and I also watched the whole video. Explain the whole process and, you know, what put that into your head to do that. I don't want to give it away, but let you tell about it.
No, it's great. Well, thank you for watching the video. It's on my website, by the way, for people who are like, what?
Tell the website and we'll do that later too.
CBEmusic.com. My initials, music.com. So The Passenger was not, I mean, I had done 2 albums in a row, years in a row, Luminary and then A Seeker Slumber. And I don't normally do that to my fans where I'm like, all right, here's another album to buy. And, you know, I normally have a couple years in between a record cycle and I wasn't planning on doing a record, but the Grammys, we're going to be in Los Angeles, January 31st of this year, of 2022. And I was looking at flights. And this is the part that you were alluding to of like, watch out what you say. And I was like, oh my God, flights are so expensive. And like off the cuff, I don't even know who I was talking to. I was just like, you know what? I just want to take a train or something. And I was like, what would that look like? And then I go down a rabbit hole of like, oh my God, people go down cross country, like go across the country and you can have your own room on a train. So that kind of looked interesting to me. My date was going to be one of my best friends, Kevin Archambault, who I've written a musical with called Boiler Room Girls, based on a 1960s Kennedy scandal. It's the Chappaquiddick event, actually. And we found out prior to me having this idea in late December that he had stage 4 cancer. And on January 10th, just about 5 days before, we knew he wasn't going to come to the Grammys. As soon as we found out that The Seeker Slumber did not get nominated, I was like, this feels like a lot. And he was like, if you were nominated, I'd be there. But yeah, it feels like a lot. So we knew he wasn't going to come. So 12 days before I was supposed to go, I was going to go by myself. He passed away January 10th of this year. And the same day the Grammys got moved from January to April because it was a peak COVID moment. So all of these things were just like, don't get on the train, don't get on the train, don't get on the train. But all I wanted to do, you know, 2 years into this pandemic was, and I was, you know, being so careful about not traveling and everything. I was like, I just want to get out of my body, out of my house, out of this grief, out of this familiarity, out of like, I couldn't be in my studio because for 5 years straight, every week we had a meeting where he sat in a chair, different chair, because I've redone my studio since then. He sat in a chair with me and we created and brainstormed and researched and did all this work. So I just couldn't be anywhere. So I'm exhausted, like completely exhausted. And also like grieving with a community, theater community that he had such He directed a million shows. Like, so many people were touched by him and this light that he was. And most of them didn't know he was even sick. So it was a year and a half long secret holding. And it was just, it was a lot of, I just want to get out of my body. And yeah. I was like, but how can you travel and go somewhere? I mean, traveling takes so much energy, the logistics. And I was like, unless you're lying down in a bed watching the country go by at 80 miles an hour. I was like, what an interesting thing. So I decided to not cancel my train trip and go do this thing. And I was like, what if I try to like process some of this crap through music, which I have always heard is a thing. I mean, my dad passed away 10 years ago and so many people were like, you're going to write some beautiful songs for him. And like, it's going to, and I did not like, nope, not a drop, not a note. He was a musician. Like, there's so many reasons why I should have written all this music. And I tried, and it was all so cheesy and just not, like, this is not how I'm supposed to honor him. It's supposed to be with other music in other ways. And so I was like, maybe this time. So I was like, let's see if I can just do an electronic album on the train, because it's so noisy. You can't record anything. Like, I didn't bring a guitar. Not that I play the guitar, but you couldn't really do much while the train was moving. So I was like, this, normally I'm composing with acoustic pianos and I use my voice as an instrument and do lots of layers and stacking vocals. And this would be a complete departure and sort of returning to my roots of that electronic music back in college. And I was like, let's play. And I brought a tiny little keyboard and I got my own room, and they, you know, they have an attendant that comes and turns the seats sort of like Harry Potter, where the two seats facing you and they turn it into a bed. And I was like, just turn it into a bed. You just leave it there the whole time. Just leave it as a bed. I'll sit up in it. I'll I don't need to see. And you can go to the observation room. And 2 days in, I was like, I knew 2 days in that I was going to hit my mark. I wanted to do 7 tracks minimum. I ended up doing 12, 9 landed on the album. Those other 3, we don't want to hear those. But I knew it was going quickly. Like, I knew it was there was something prolific. I cried a lot. Like, I couldn't sleep very well. The moon was always coming right through my window, which was beautiful. But it was like very emotional, but also like really beautiful experience. And I knew 2 days in that I was going to want more time, not for the music, but just for me being on this train. So I canceled my flight home from LA because I was going to stay with my sister and then fly home. Canceled the flight home and decided to take another train, a different route home, because I was taking 5 days out through the Rocky Mountains, ending up from New York into Sacramento and then going down to Los Angeles. And then the return trip was Los Angeles, sort of through the southern deserts of Arizona, coming back up, meeting in Chicago, and then heading back. You sort of changed trains. Everyone changes trains in Chicago. So that, what, I don't remember what the question was. That's the story.
epic journey.
Well, yeah, that's the journey that we wanted to hear and everything. And did you find it difficult to work? I mean, you're probably working with headphones and everything, as we saw that. So,
Because I was in my own little room, the only time it was, you know, there was one train conductor on one leg of the trip that really liked to sing the announcements through the loudspeaker, and you like can't turn that off in your room. So you're just like, pause, wait for him to stop. He's like, and on the right, there's an elk and he like was going to town and singing about what, and I was just like, oh my, it was like endearing. But also I was like, it's early, dude. Like, stop it. I appreciate that. But no, it was not hard to focus. It was not hard to, generate ideas. I brought a couple different headphones some of them were noise canceling, which can get exhausting for after a certain amount of time. So I, you know, when we were paused, sometimes we'd have like half an hour stops. I'd swap them out and like, you know, I changed it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we should take a listen to that. You sent us the beautiful bridge, and then we'll take a listen to that.
Yeah.
Here's the beautiful bridge from The Passenger.
Thank you.
And that was The Beautiful Bridge from The Passenger on the wonderful journey that Cheryl made cross country.
Yeah, that one is, for me, that one was so soft and smooth and just totally enchanting. I mean, it was just so incredibly beautiful. No, thank you.
It was fun to collaborate with Lily Hayden, who's won the Grammy. Is a Grammy-winning artist and amazing composer. And she, I sent her the track from the train and said, can you add some of your violin vocal magic on this? And to be able to collaborate, and I could only do it when the train was moving, it was stopped moving because the Wi-Fi and reception was so bad. So I'm like, send the MP3, like when we're in between stops and trying to collaborate with all these amazing people. There are actually five different collaborations on this record, which felt like I needed to not make it all about me because it's such a bubble that I was in terms of creation, that I wanted to bring other perspectives. So it wasn't just a Cheryl's grief album, because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't play like a grief album. It plays like I'm having an experience and I created this music so that you can have whatever experience you need to have. And I thought bringing other people in would allow them to bring in a different perspective so that it wasn't so unilaterally about mine.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, Cheryl B. Engelhart, on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. Now, is this in for this year's Grammys, or?
We find out next week if it got.
That's right. That's right. It's the 15th. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we'll maybe.
I did vote for you, by the way.
Well, oh, thank you. So it is in the New Age, right, which is now called New Age Ambient Enchant category. We took the track that I did with Dal String Quartet, and they're just an amazing ensemble. They're just a delight to work with. And they did this beautiful, it was such a simple arrangement. It's all these whole notes, but the way they performed it just really like stung me in the piece, The Chariot. And it's a little more of an epic piece. It has it could be a little, you know, mild film score-ish. So we put that into the category of the small ensemble performance. So it was entered there. And then the track that I did with Danae Vlasse, that she composed the piano part and then played, her process was so genius that we put that into the instrumental composition, that track, because you can enter single tracks into that category as well.
I know. What do you think about just being a voting member of the Academy, being only able to vote in like three categories besides the big four?
I hope that they change that. There are so many categories that I think people, especially if you are a working musician, you are going to have your toe dipped into several categories. I mean, even just if I was just a classical composer, I mean, and I do cross over into New Age, and I think my New Age music has a touch of pop and a touch of classical for sure. But being classically trained, I'm completely eligible to be listening to most of those category entries in classical. So I love voting in classical. But of course, there's instrumental and composition and arranging. And as a choral a cappella person, that's a whole nother field. And then I'm New Age. And then, you know, there are so many, I don't know how I got into it, but I'm in this community of amazing Americana and roots music, and I've gone to shows and listened. So I'm like not a creator in that space, but definitely a consumer and can tell. But like, so I'm like torn between all these. And then I've collaborated with Joni Leeds, who won the Children's Grammy last year. And I have stuff that I've done with her. Am I not allowed to vote in Children's now? Because, you know, like when I have other, you know, and I know there are producers that have projects in more than three fields and are just kind of like, whoop, oh, well. So I hope that they change that, at least raise it to about five. I think one of the solutions would be to take all the single category fields, like New Age is the only category in that field. The global music only has two spoken word, Children's, put them all into sort of maybe a miscellaneous bigger category. So people that do overlap in some of them, even if they're very different, don't have to, quote, waste a single vote, a single field for a single category, right?
It makes it hard, I know, for me. I remember in the golden days, you know, you vote in 15 different things. You know, it was like very not restrictive. And, you know, of course, I've been a member of the Academy since, 1980, 81 or something like that. So,
wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I think they pulled it back to, I think 15 probably feels like a lot and maybe gives a little too much freedom. And then you've got people just doing more like popularity votes versus actually listening. Right. I posted and emailed my email base and posted social media that I have a voting manifesto, which is I actually schedule time to listen to everything in my in my categories. I will not have shiny object syndrome when I see a famous name or a past winner's name and automatically go there for votes. I will be taking extra effort to learn about underrepresented populations inside of whatever category I am voting in. And that might mean women, that might mean people of color, that might mean LGBTQ community. In every genre, it's different, but for the most part, it's fairly ubiquitous. But so I have this manifesto that I post, and I really am like trying to make this just not a popularity contest. And I think 15 might be too much, but I think 3 is way too few.
It is. I like the, and that's how like I got connected with you and some of our other people we've had, like Wouter Kellerman and things, through the FYC process. Yeah. And of course, everyone then asks me, well, do you have anything up? Well, I'm not doing any recording. I'm doing this now. So
Which is amazing and a contribution to the space in and of itself. So yeah, I love that.
Well, I'd like to do some of your other music too. Let's talk about Unwind. That's from A Seeker's Slumber. And set that up for us. Tell us a little bit about the background of that album and that song.
Yeah. So once I realized this is the second New Age album that I did after doing 4 pop albums. And, you know, when I did Luminary, it was such a departure from pop stuff. It's very odd. It's so very, very instrumental New Age. And I was like, but I still have something to say. I still have some lyrics. I still am a poet. And on Seeker Slumber, I really wanted to create music that was, I did a lot of heart rate research and latched on to people's heart rates. And when you're falling asleep, you're not at the ideal sleep heart rate. You're thinking about the stuff that's running through your brain and you might feel anxious. So your heart rate's higher. So what if the music was a little faster, more busy, and then slowed down as it latched on? You latched on as a listener to the music and then you could slow down together. So a lot of the tracks were doing that. And I thought it was just going to be an album that like supported sleep. But I realized I had a couple other things I wanted to say. And inside of that, I was able to create a couple songs that did have lyrics. About half the tracks have lyrics and half of them don't, and create this sort of from start to finish. It really plays like a day in the life of like this hope and waking up. And then there's some like, okay, what do I got to tackle? And then there might be a little conflict, and then like Unwind is the reckoning and the, I am not going to like let this tear my day apart. I'm not going to let you unwind me. It's a little bit of an empowerment song, but so vocal heavy and sort of lush production. And then it comes back to like honoring mother. I actually got my song for my dad inside of this record, Any Way You Choose. And I actually have a recording of him saying this phrase on the song. And then it goes into sort of settling down for the evening where that the slowdown songs happen. So Unwind happens in the middle, kind of like the peak of the day. And I was feeling very, it was the middle of the winter when I wrote it. I did a music video just with my own, you know, we're in the pandemic. So I did it in my woods in the back, and it felt very witchy, and it just feels like a whole vibe. And it's one of my favorite songs I've done. Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen. Cheryl Van Engelhardt's from A Seeker's Slumber album, Unwind.
Twist or turn, blame, unlearn. This not you despise. find me. There's no room under my skin for you. My heart will always bind me, so you cannot unwind.
And we're back. And that's, you know, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Cheryl, you know, your vocals are such a good match for that composition. And I was wondering if, is it all of you with layering, or was somebody also singing on that one?
It is all of me with layering. I'm trying to think if I had in the bridge, if I had. So my assistant, Robin Tucker, is this amazing, amazing vocalist, and he writes amazing melodies. And I was stuck with like the transition between the verse and the chorus. And I was like, there's this ooh section. Can you just like do a little ooh thing? And he did it. And I think I kept that in like his recording and like sort of built around it. So I think he might be very buried in there. I can't remember, and he might kill me if he hears this, that I can't remember. But yeah, he was definitely a part of that either way. But I would say 90% of what you're hearing is just me. It's and gorgeous. The only time there would be someone else is in that the little pre-chorus transition.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, Cheryl B. Engelhardt, on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. Projects on the horizon. I mean, what do you have looking ahead now? Any film scores, or I know you do choral compositions and things like that?
Yeah, I'm loving this choral commission that I got recently from E.O. Smith Choir in Storrs, Connecticut. Amanda Henslick is this, I'm a fangirl on her because she's just this incredible choral director, this award-winning choir. And we met at a American Choral Association Directors Association, ACDA. Sorry, right. I'm getting the conference. And she heard one of my pieces, The Listening, performed and approached me. And then I looked her up and I'm like, oh my God, you're like best friends with the Pentatonics. And like, you're like, she's the head of all of these boards and totally involved in the ACDA. So we've been in touch for a while. And this year she was like, all right, I am sick of Christmas concerts for high schools where we're only singing old dead white men music. And I want a living composer, and I want it, and I don't want it to be about Hanukkah or Christmas. I want something about the solstice. And she had this very specific brief. She wanted something very angular, and it felt like a history lesson, but it was modern and cool, and it changed. And like, and I was just like, okay, I'm here. Like, I'm like bringing in, like doing a month's of research on like pagan and Wiccan and Celtic and Polish and Chinese and all sorts of different like solstice traditions to bring in. What is this text? How can this sound feel like a carol? That was another thing, like feel like a carol, but not be about and can be something that gets sung year after year. So I've been, I go to the first, I love going to rehearsals for choirs that I work with. I don't just write a piece and be like, here you go. I hope you like it. I like to really make sure that, I mean, my whole thing is like, if the experience part. So if the singers are having an experience and if they get into the meaning for themselves, the audience is going to have an experience too. It's the same thing how I look at my new age music. I'm not trying to dictate an emotion per se. You like, you go to the grocery store and you hear a pop song and it's like a sad breakup song and you like get sad and you remember your past, you know, lover, or you hear Katy Perry's Roar and you just like want to go kick some butt, right? Like those songs, it's the beauty of music. They can really dictate a mood and dictate an emotion. And I think that new age music and the way I like to compose for film, choirs, you know, my work is really, as long as I and the performers on our end are having an experience, that will be a platform for someone else to have the experience that they need to have in that moment. And it's not necessarily me dictating it.
Right.
So, so I love going, that's all to say that I love going and talking to choirs and to see how they're interpreting it, to hear the discussion behind the notes and the words, and just to make sure that there is something that they get to express as performers so that it really lands for the audience in a special way.
Any plans to go to the Grammys this year, whether you get the nomination or not?
Yeah, of course. I love it. You know, why not? It's nice to put on a little dress and say hi to your friends. And the community is really beautiful. The community I've been finding is really beautiful. I know there's some, I've heard there are some people that are curmudgeon-y about it, but I really love the support and the, especially among the independent musicians that are really dreaming big. And, you know, one of my reasons for wanting a Grammy, you know, by the way, it's been a 17-year long since my best friend planted this idea in my head on my birthday when the Grammys, the last time the Grammys were February 23rd was in 2003 when I turned 23. So, oh my God, we're coming up onto that almost being a 20 year dream. So wow. She gave me this and the Grammy goes to, and it was like the anniversary Grammy book, like coffee table book. And like, she's like, you could get a Grammy. And like, you know, fast forward 10 years, I don't even have a, you know, albums out and I'm in the pop category with Taylor Swift and Beyonce and like 400,000 other, but New Age has been like, oh wait. And you know, I've been a member for about 8 years, 6 years or something, 6 or 8 years. And it's starting to get closer and closer and realer and realer. So I feel like it would be really cool as a, just, this is what's possible when you sort of see a long game. Sure. And I think it'd be a really cool win for the independent music community, because most people that have won in the categories I'm looking at are on labels and or have won before. So that would be a triumph to kind of come out without a label. They're also very male dominated fields. So that's another thing that would be a trend. There's all sorts of reasons why this would be great for the world.
Yeah. And you also, well, I also wanted to quickly mention in the key of success too, because not only do you do your own music, but you also have taken it on to share what you know with the world.
Yeah, that's my platform where I had to get good at marketing and email marketing. And I'm a dork. I love, you know, I'm a scientist. So I like my research and I dig in to the, you know, what can help me. And I can't not share it. I think I'm a teacher at heart. So in the Key of Success is where I host a mastermind, Amplify, for musicians. I've been running it 6 years. I love personal development and growth. So I am a trauma-informed coach. I have over 1,000 hours of training. So I bring that into helping other musicians.
Well, we just have to wrap it up, but we want to, at the end, play Keep, Craving the Second. Tell us real quickly about that. Tell us about your website, how people can find you and everything like that before we wrap up our interview here, Cheryl.
Okay, I can do this. So Keep is one of my favorite songs. It is my biggest moneymaker. I have gotten that placed all over the place, and I've also got it critiqued where I've heard people like Dan Wilson say, this is a beautiful song. I don't know what it's about. So I just say, you know what? You make it what you want it to be about, lyrically. and it was my dad's favorite song. So it's really special to me, and you'll hear motifs of it in the song I did for him on The Seeker Slumber, Any Way You Choose. My website is CBE Music, or if you're a musician, inthekeyofsuccess.com. Gets you into my portal there. And then same on Instagram, CBE Music is me personally. And In the Key of Success is for musicians.
Well, you know, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. This has been just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. I know when we missed our interview the last time, we didn't hook up, but I'm glad we were able to do it. That's Cheryl B. Englehart, and her current is The Passenger. Give it a listen and download it.
Yeah, it's completely fabulous. Thank you so much.
And the story behind doing it, I think, is just as interesting as the music itself. Cheryl, thank you for coming on Art in the Air.
Thank you very, very much.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure.
We're wrapping up our interview with Keep from Cheryl B. Englehart's Craving the Second album.
I'm running fast and I'm dodging the trees. The ground is frozen beneath the lazy breeze. I'm close, but I can't be sure, so I'll play it safe, and I will run some more. Don't let me keep you, 'cause I got too much to do. Turns, the figure spins, I'm molding you, the sculpture wins. Don't let me keep you, 'cause I got too much to do. Don't let this get too deep, 'cause I got my soul to keep. Spotless desert blue. of snap, drum and drums, it has begun. A day, and though it may look like I'm running, I will never run away. Don't let me keep you, 'cause I got too much to do. Don't let this get too
like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.